T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Come on now, bro.
Let's get back to the latest headlines for the sports world.
Trending now.
Here's what's trending.
That wasn't exactly how we would have drawn it up. Try to be a little perfect when I came out there. Sometimes you gotta kind of pull back and say, here you go, hit it. Get that one first out was big, and then unreal play from Muncy and Alonso right there to keep it clean. So it's a huge boost, and hopefully continue that into the second half.
That's the voice of Mike Soroka, the number one starter in the Braves rotation right now. The word ace we don't use yet.
Nope.
Hopefully someday we can call him that. But the number one starter in the rotation, Mike Soroka, talking about his outing at the All-Star game. Very cool to see him out there. Very clean inning. Very quick. He was off the field before I even noticed that he was on the field, basically, which is a good thing for a pitcher. Now, he only pitched one inning, but he went 1-2-3, and that's good. Now he's back to business. Dallas Keuchel is going to be on the mound tomorrow when the Braves take on the Padres to start the second half of the season. We had Chip Carey on the show earlier on, and if you missed the interview, you could check that out, 929thegame.com on the Andy and Randy page. He talked about a lot of different stuff, but one of the things that Chip Carey talked about was the difference between last year's team and this year's team, and this year's team just kind of knowing that they're good, not thinking that they're good, not wondering if they can make the playoffs. These guys know that they're good, and there seems to be a swagger about them. That's a really important thing for a young team to have, and I think this team definitely has it.
Yeah, without a doubt, because last year it's all new to you. You know, a lot of these guys were first time contributing to this team, and when you're out there, you are what we call a green. You just don't know no better. You know what I'm saying? You just know one thing. All gas, no brakes. You're always going. You don't know how to do certain things because this is our first time doing it. Now, look at this right here. We're doing it again. You know what I'm saying? Last year wasn't a fluke. So, yeah, you got a little confidence about yourself. Yeah, you can say I'm feeling myself. Like you said, you got a swagger about yourself.
Yeah.
I know I'm good. I know I can compete at this level, and I know that I have what it takes to get us where we want to go.
But, I mean, everybody who's elite has that, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be arrogance.
Somebody fake it. A lot of people fake it.
Oh, yeah, people fake it. No doubt. But, like, when you are truly good, you know you're good, right? Like, but at what point
here's the thing. When you know you're good and all that stuff, the expectation that people have on you is one thing. That's why I said some people fake it, because some people are afraid to be great because people are expect that of you all the time, you know. And that's one thing Marshall Faulk would always say. It was like, don't be afraid to be great because of the expectations of people thinking that you're great.
Yeah.
And some people fold under that. A lot of people fold under that. But, you know, but no, this team right here, they know they're good, you know, and I love they got the right manager for me for some reason. It seems like Snick's just the right guy.
I think so, too.
Like he's the right guy for
me. He's got his finger on the pulse of this team has been pretty great ever since he got here. Look, I know people get upset about some of the bullpen decisions, and I mean, everyone thinks they're the best manager in the world. It's pretty easy when you're sitting there on the couch and all you're doing is tweeting. Mm-hmm. He makes a lot of smart decisions that doesn't get credit for. I mean, maybe the moment of the first half, we asked Chip Carey about this too, and I think you and I agree, Randy, like the single most exciting moment of the first half of the season was in the final game before the All-Star break when Charlie Culberson makes that catch and throws the runner out of home.
Yeah.
Charlie Culberson was a defensive replacement. He didn't have to be out there. Could have left Austin Riley out there. Probably a lot of managers would have. So
I'm thinking like, wow, what made him want to do that?
That,
you know what I'm saying,
like knowing that he could do that possibly,
or knowing that Luke Jackson up
maybe, like, possibly,
you know,
also
knowing Lou Jack 7-7, yeah, knowing Lou Jack 7-7 in there, thinking like, hey man, Charlie, go out there, man. This dude's tripping. You know what I'm saying?
Charlie, get your running shoes on,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Charlie, go get your shoes on, man. Come on, man.
Because you know he's going to have you all over the place. Now, look, exactly. Luke Jackson gets unlucky, though, Randy. He's an unlucky closer.
Yeah, right.
That little bloop bunt was very unlucky. That is true. Mm-hmm. But, no, I mean, I think I'm 100% with you. Snitker is very clearly the right guy for this locker room, because just look at the way that the locker room works right now. Mm-hmm. Look at all the trust these guys have in each other. Baseball is that sport. Anybody that's covered baseball before, especially anybody that's been in bad locker rooms or clubhouses, which I've been in many, they spend a lot of hours around each other. You talk about 3:30 on game day when first pitch isn't for 4 hours. and you're sitting around with 24 guys who you don't like, that's a quiet, quiet place. Yeah. You got three guys over there playing cards and two guys over there talking trash. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a good sit. So much downtime in baseball.
4 hours?
Oh, my God, dude. They get there before that.
Wow.
Locker room or clubhouse opens about 4.
Uh-huh.
So you get in there and, all right, who do we want to talk to today? All these guys suck and everyone's mad at us. Who do we want to talk to? Do you have a minute? No, you don't? Okay. You walk over to another guy. Hey, do you mind talking about last night's start? No, you don't want to? Okay. Do you have a couple minutes? Okay, great. Same guy we talk to every single day. Yeah, let's talk to Willie Bloomquist.
Yeah, that guy.
Hey, Willie Bloomquist, you haven't played in 3 weeks. Can you tell us about Ichiro's game last night? Thanks, Willie. And then the manager talks at about 4:30 in the dugout. It's the same crap every single day on a bad baseball team.
That's a long
time. Well, just going out there trying to give it our best. And, you know, it's a long – oh, yeah. A bad baseball team in the middle of August is the worst thing. Oof. But still, you're covering sports, and it's really great, and you can't complain about it. It's what you wanted to do. But, man, do those summers get long on bad baseball teams and bad clubhouses, and this absolutely is not one of them. Very much looking forward to the second half of the season. Gets underway tomorrow against the Padres.
I just saw Madison Bumgarner throw less than 2 weeks ago, and he looked really good. He is a difference maker that can turn a contender into a champion. Whatever team goes and gets him might change the whole look of the Pennant race. Plus, they have Will Smith, who hasn't blown a save all year, has spectacular stuff. How much could the Braves use him? How much could the Red Sox use him? The Giants might control who plays the Dodgers or the Yankees, perhaps, with what they do in the trade market.
Why do we call it stuff?
Oh, like when you throw the ball well as a pitcher?
Yeah, it's not good stuff.
I don't know. That's a great question.
It's not good stuff.
Somebody was just lazy and hungover.
That's true. Both just said something to my ear. What else can you call it? That is true. What else can you call it?
Good pitches?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Good action on his pitches?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's got good pitches? I don't know. He pitches good? It is funny, though. That is such an ambiguous term that everyone uses as gospel. Oh, well, he's got the stuff.
He got good stuff.
We like
now.
His stuff. That's true. He's got the right stuff.
But, hey, man, Madison Bumgarner, he's out there. And Green, I mean, all these guys are there. But it don't matter if you ain't willing to give up something. We can talk to you blue in the face. If you're not going to give up nothing, then what's the point?
True. And every time you talk about getting somebody and mention one name.
Oh, my God, no. You can't get rid of him.
Everybody clutches their pearls.
All right, I'm not saying you got to get rid of him. I'm saying if y'all want that guy.
But here's the thing, though. And I, you know, no disrespect to Jimmy and Alpharetta or Tommy and East Point or all the people that call in and tweet at you whenever you suggest trading someone. That was Tim Kirkchen of ESPN.
Yeah.
He knows a little bit about baseball.
A little, just a tad bit.
He's covered baseball for a little while. If Tim Kirkchen thinks that, and he said the Braves first, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, he did.
If he thinks that Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith or whoever, a guy who he's talking about, could put you over the top.
Then go get him.
Doesn't his opinion have a little bit of value?
Just a tad bit.
Tim Kirkchen.
I like Tim Kirkchen too.
He's just one of those guys you can hear when he's talking about baseball, how much he loves it.
Yes.
Like it's the enthusiasm
it's
in his
voice. It's his life.
You know the one thing I don't like about Madison Bumgarner? It's pretty trivial. But there's really only one thing I don't like about Madison Bumgarner. Tim. Not super comfortable saying his nickname.
What's his nickname?
Mad Bum.
Oh. Who calls him that?
People.
What people?
People do. People say that. I mean, it's the first three letters of his first name.
Yeah, I mean, I got that part, Andy.
So that's what they call him. People call him Mad Bum.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't have to call him that.
Oh, you don't? I don't want to call him
I'll call him Maddie.
Maddie? That's not bad.
Yeah, Maddie.
Bummy, that's not a good one.
No. But no.
M-Bum is even worse.
And we know that he's not he's not that guy that won the World Series for the Giants.
That's fine. Don't have to be.
Don't got to be that dude. I would like for him to go back to that guy.
You think he's better than Julio Teheran?
Hell yeah, he's better than Julio
Teheran. I think he's better than Julio Teheran, too.
And that's all I need to know. He's better than Julio Teheran. But, you know, but Julio's been doing his thing, man, all right? And we going to get off Julio. Because Julio's been balling. Well, outside them
for the most part,
for the other two starts.
Yeah, five and dive. Yeah, although he went six innings last time out there.
But no, you're going to have to give up something. And I think everybody knows that. Even the people who tell me don't trade anybody, even y'all know that. If you want to get one of these guys, then you gotta give up something.
And I guess you don't want to get one of those guys.
Yeah, which is fine with me.
The very least, we don't have to say Mad Bum if they don't get him. We don't have to talk about Mad Bum at all.
Yeah, the team really wants to win this. It's a trophy. You know, that
they haven't made it this far yet, obviously in a short time. So we really want to push and try and win this.
I did. It was probably some of the best coaching I did.
Well, then you don't deserve another job.
Hugh Jackson. Okay. I thought you said 3,
yeah.
36, and 1.
That wasn't Hugh Jackson talking.
That just made me upset.
I saw it. It's on NFL Network. Hugh Jackson's quote about coaching, some of the best coaching I've ever done.
3, 36, and 1.
Isn't that all you need to know about not giving him another job? If that's the best coaching you've done, you're 33 games under 500 in 36 tries. That's not good. That was the voice of Emerson Hyneman, right? Was that Emerson Hyneman? That was Breck Shea, obviously. I know the difference between how Breck Shea and Emerson Hyneman sound because I cover Atlanta United. That was Breck Shea talking about the team wanting to win the U.S. Open Cup. Right. Well, they won last night 2-0 over St. Louis FC, which is good. We find out in 52 minutes whether or not they play Orlando here or in Orlando in the next leg of the U.S. Open Cup, which if they win, they go to the final. So they're 2 wins away from a U.S. Open Cup championship. I hope it's here.
Me too. I mean, I will go down to Orlando.
Yeah, no. Orlando.
It's Orlando.
It's one of the...
I saw Disney.
It's one of the worst cities.
I saw Disney.
Orlando, Phoenix. I know you like Phoenix because you went to Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Everybody likes Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Different places. Phoenix, not good.
Okay.
El Paso, Texas, terrible. These are places you don't want to go to.
El Paso.
These are Topeka, Kansas, thumbs down. These are cities I have not enjoyed. Cleveland, Ohio, not good.
Cleveland's cool. When you get there, it's all right.
All right. Not for me. Was Dover, no, Wilmington, Delaware. Not a good place to go to. I've been to a lot of bad places.
Yeah,
I've been to some good places.
I'm like, why are you going to Wilmington, Delaware?
We did Habitat for Humanity there.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
It was not a good place to be. Good reason to be there, not a good place to be. So the U.S. Open Cup and what Breck Shea said. He had a little giggle after he said that they're trying to win. I like that. I like that Breck Shea's feeling good about the way that they played last night.
Because they played well.
They did.
They played well.
Pitti played well.
Considering it was a lesser tier type team, Pitti did play well. Loved the fact that he was engaged, it seemed like, pretty much the whole game. Great goal. Great job by Hegman. And, you know, of course, you said it. It just seems different when Joseph's out there.
Yeah, the energy is better.
It just seems different when he's there. Of course, the accountability, I'm sure he holds everybody to. And he does his damn job good. Yeah. Right? I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah,
he does his job.
Call it what it is. Pitti Martinez did his job good last night, too. Scored a goal. Great steal by Hyneman. Passed it off to Pitti. Pitti finished with some stank on it, as Jason Longshore said. All good stuff. We'll find out within the hour as to whether or not the Orlando City game, the next leg of the U.S. Open Cup, will be here or in Orlando. We're hoping for here. They announced the players that each team is going to be bringing to SEC Media Days.
All right.
You want me to tell you who they are?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, all right. Every team? You want to go every team or just?
No.
All right, I'll just tell you the teams we care about.
Okay.
Alabama's bringing Jerry, Judy, Dylan, Moses.
Them.
Oh, we don't care about, really?
No.
You don't care about them?
About us or?
Well, just the teams, I think the general SEC fan probably cares about.
I apologize. Go ahead.
I mean, I care who Alabama's bringing.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear what Dylan Moses has to say next week.
Best linebacker in the SEC.
He's a pretty good player. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's bringing Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson.
Might be best D tackle in the SEC.
Ooh, I don't think I could say this guy's name correctly.
What?
Prince Tega Wanogo.
Okay.
I might have said it right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Florida is bringing Felipe Franks, LaMichael Perine.
Dude, that cat there, man.
Felipe Franks?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Oh, Georgia. Georgia is bringing Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
You heard of him. He'll be there. J.R. Reed, he's going to be there, as is Andrew Thomas. So those are the three guys we'll hear speak.
Best left tackle in the nation.
Yeah, they're going to talk on Tuesday. So it's all segments Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Hoover, Alabama. Our guy Chris Goforth will be out there, so we'll have to catch up with Chris at some point.
Exclusively.
During the week. Yeah, exclusive coverage. Chris Goforth is going to be out there in Hoover, Alabama. And we'll look forward to hearing from all these guys. The only bummer about SEC Media Days and when you go out to cover it even too is you don't get to talk to all the coaches the way you do at other conference media days. You go to ACC Media Days, they do a car wash. Everybody sits down with you for a good 10, 15, 20 minutes. Dabo Sweeney, everybody, all the coaches.
Right.
SEC Media Days, good luck talking to Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah. Nick don't want to talk to you. He ain't going to talk to you.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to walk through with that with them funny-looking pleated pants that he still wears to this day.
He does still wear the pleats in the front.
Yes. Them pants with that checker-looking jacket. And a polo tucked in. No tie. And Nick ain't going to talk to nobody.
Oh, Kelly Bryant's coming with Missouri.
I mean, he's a new quarterback there. So.
Well, yeah, no, but he's new there, so that's interesting. Jake Bentley is going to be there with South Carolina. I can't believe Jake Bentley's still the quarterback in South Carolina.
Bentley and then Montez, quarterback of Colorado. Are y'all they still in school?
Steven Montez is 37 years old.
I'm like, they're still in school.
He's a grandfather, and he's the quarterback at the University of Colorado. Or Colorado University, sorry. Yeah, Jake Bentley somehow still the quarterback at South Carolina. Kellen Mond going to be there, quarterback Texas A&M. That's the last person you probably care about.
Hey.
Vanderbilt's bringing three guys as well.
I'm interested to see what they do without Kyle. Mm-hmm. He maybe lost Kyle Shore. He was their quarterback with three straight years. So,
one more news item here. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, the Hawks have announced today officially that Jabari Parker is on the team. His contract.
You know something, Andy?
What's that?
He said he does not mind coming off the bench. Good for you.
He has put his ego aside, Jabari Parker, and is willing to have a backup role for the Atlanta Hawks in 2019. Now, you have to imagine somebody asked him that question, right? Hey, Jabari, do you mind coming off the bench? And he says, no, I don't mind coming off the bench. I don't think Jabari Parker led with, and you know what? The great Jabari Parker will even come off the bench for the Atlanta Hawks.
Talks in the third person.
I don't think that's what he did. All right, Jason Butt going to join us next.
The right stuff.
Wrote a great article earlier this week about the Grady Jarrett contract situation. So we'll talk to him about that and all things Falcons coming up next. Jason Butt, Falcons reporter, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sing this song. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the AMA, close things out that way as we do every day. Solomon Brothers Diamond text lines open, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter at TBM929. Any question, any topic, all you got to do is ask. Me and Randy will answer, coming up in 20 minutes from right now. Before we do that, though, as we continue to count down to Falcons training camp, 11 days away now, as we will be out there at Flowery Branch on July 22nd. We're getting closer and closer. Jason Butt joins us to talk about the Falcons. You can follow Jason on Twitter at Jason H. Butt, and we'll tweet out the article that Jason wrote about Grady Jarrett and his contract situation as well. Jason, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Doing good, buddy.
Doing great, man. Just continuing to count down to training camp, as I'm sure you are as well. And you wrote that piece about Grady and about the contract situation. And just in case people don't know, let's give a brief overview of the situation itself and then get into the nuts and bolts of it. But as I understand it, they've got until, Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to get something done with Grady Jarrett. Otherwise, the franchise tag becomes official, right?
Correct. Monday at 4 p.m., that's the deadline. If the Falcons and Grady Jarrett's reps can reach a long-term agreement, that will replace the franchise tag tender that Grady's already signed, and he'll be secure. He'll be ready to go for years to come, 5-6 years, something like that. That would be what you're probably looking at, just looking at other deals that have done, been done in recent years. He'd have all the security that you would hope in terms of not worrying about what's coming next after 1 year. That's the issue right now with the franchise tag. If they can't strike a deal, he's got 1 year with the Falcons, and say something happens. Say there's an injury. Say there's something. He doesn't put in a good year because of minor injury. Say the team doesn't do that well. Something happens that affects his value. All of a sudden, maybe he doesn't get as much as he's commanding right now. That's kind of the issue I think both sides have to work on is that, how valuable is Grady in both sides' minds, the representation and the Falcons, and where can they find common ground to get a long-term deal that also fits within the salary cap for the Falcons in future seasons.
Jay, do you know if there has been an offer, if there has been how far apart they are? Me and Andy have been under this impression all spring that we doubt that they're going to get a long-term extension. Was there any numbers out there that, where they were similar to each other, or they're just so far apart?
As of a few months ago, they were pretty far apart, and I don't know specifics on numbers. It's just been that they're far apart. And It's been really quiet. You know, tried to reach out to some folks this week. It's quiet. That can mean two things. It could mean, or one of two things, I should say. It can mean that they are working and staying silent until something's done, or there's just nothing to update with. So that's kind of where things stand. There really hasn't been an update on the situation, you know, since the last bit where it was I would say probably common knowledge to a lot of people that they were far apart, and I don't have any update whatsoever to clarify if anything's changed. I don't want to make it seem like maybe something has, maybe something hasn't.
Sure. Right.
It's just where it is, which, you know, maybe Monday at the deadline, all of a sudden something happens. You know, that's happened before with guys where it doesn't seem like anything's going to happen, then boom, out of nowhere, a deal's done and that's announced. And so there's still obviously hope in that regard, but nothing has been brought to light. Nothing has been said behind the scenes that would indicate anything at this time.
Well, let's play out one of those two scenarios, if you don't mind, Jason. Again, Jason Butt joining us here talking about some Falcons as we continue to count down to training camp on July 22nd. And one of the scenarios is nothing gets done and Grady plays the 2019 season or has a contract to play the 2019 season on the franchise tag, which is $15.2 million. Do you think that nothing getting done would impact the relationship that Grady and the Falcons have with one another right now?
No, not necessarily. I think that, you know, Grady, the fact that Grady signed the tender already, he signed it, what was it, back in April?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the week of the draft.
Right. That signals that, you know, and he showed up for minicamp. That signals he's not holding out. Mm. You don't sign if you want to use a negotiating chip to get your long-term agreement. You know, he's not that type of person either. So I very much envision him showing up. If he has to play under the tag, he plays under the tag. Now, one thing I didn't write about in the article is that, okay, so they obviously would have more time. They could table talk. They can get back to it and maybe get something in the, you know, in the next season, especially if they can get Julio's deal done. That frees up some space for the 2019 season just based on prorating the signing bonus. Then you could do the same with Grady Jarrett in 2020, which will kind of offset the two, because if you get both deals done now, then both those players will have huge cap hits for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I didn't mention is, okay, so what if Grady Jarrett, they don't sign this year, and then he has a great year, and then, you know, the Falcons are like, well, we can't use the franchise tag again and have a 20% increase. You know, then, okay, let's test the market. At that point, yeah, the Falcons are in trouble of losing Grady Jarrett in that hypothetical situation, just because if he bets on himself and his agent as well, if they decide, okay, let's play it out, and he does more than he has in the previous seasons that he's been here, yeah, sure enough, all of a sudden, let the market dictate what he's worth, and it could be even bigger than maybe what, you know, the numbers are right now. So. It will be interesting to see how it plays out, just because, you know, it's not just Grady. It's obviously you've got Julio. You've got other guys next year coming up, you know, in terms of Deion Jones, Evandre Campbell, Austin Hooper. So a lot of guys are in line to get paid, and they're going to have to pick and choose wisely as to who those guys are. Yeah, I do know that, you know, obviously Arthur Blank, he's like Julio. He's called Grady a Falcon for life, and Thomas Dimitroff has said he's a priority. So that's a guy they definitely want to lock up. It's a matter of what common ground can they find, you know, whether it's before Monday's deadline or before free agency hits in 2020.
Hey, Jason, going back to, because my question to you was going to be about after Grady, because Deion's going to be a free agent also after this season. This is last year on his deal. Devondre's last year on his deal. How do they prioritize the fact that, you know what, some of our young core, they're all coming up at the same time, and we might not have enough money to pay all of them?
Well, they probably won't have enough money to pay all of them, and that's obviously those are the decisions that, you know, the general manager and those that work for him. That's why they get paid a lot of money to make those decisions, because they're going to have to figure out who should be prioritized, especially on that defensive side of the ball. Does somebody like Devondre Campbell, for as great as he's been, do they, you know, considering that Deion's coming up and Keanu Neal will be under his fifth year option is Devondre Campbell just a cap casualty at that point? Can they afford to keep him? I think he's somebody, as a linebacker who does a lot of the dirty work and gets overshadowed, I think he can come out a pretty good contract in free agency, especially if he has another solid season. So if you're Atlanta, you hate to lose him, but you have to make those kind of decisions. And then Austin Hooper, too, if he has another Pro Bowl-type season, what do you do with him on that side of the ball? So, considering the money you got to put on the defensive side to make sure that you have a good solid core for those years to come, it's a good problem to have. Obviously, it means they're drafting well, and so if you draft well, then obviously you have a chance to win a lot more games. But then you have to repeat the cycle. It's something I think New England has had happen over the years where, they lose guys in free agency because they have to make those decisions not to pay certain quality guys. And for Atlanta, it's a good problem to have, although it's a tough one and something that the front office will have to consider, especially this coming off season.
Yeah, it's that penalty the NFL makes you pay. If you draft too well, eventually you can't afford to keep all the guys you drafted. Jason Butt joining us here talking some Falcons. Just a couple minutes left here for Jason. And again, you can follow him on Twitter at Jason H. Butt. When do you think Julio's contract, I'm sure you saw the TMZ video, it's basically the same thing he said when he was in town last month, that he's not worried about it, it's going to get done, Arthur Blank's word is as good as gold. When do you think that Julio's contract is made official and pen is put to paper?
I wish I had a good hypothesis for you because, honestly, I thought it would have been done by now. There must just be some small minor details. That's a guess of mine. They're clearly on the same page. It's funny because while that deal hasn't gotten done, there's just been nothing coming out as far of being far apart or anything like that taking place. It's one of those things where you do wonder, how long does Julio have? Does he want to play out the entire contract? Does he only want to do two or three seasons? He is somebody, Jeff Schultz, my colleague at The Athletic, he's written about this before where there is a belief in the building that Julio is kind of in the Calvin Johnson mold where there's a belief that he doesn't want to just play into his 30s, that when he feels like it's time to shut it down, he'll shut it down. And he has other interests in mind. He's not somebody that he just wants to keep playing and for the sake of playing. He knows the game's obviously taking a toll on his body, so he has it in mind when it's smart for him to walk away from the game. So I guess in that respect, if you're Atlanta, you have to worry about the salary cap in those back years if you're going to pay him, that last long-term deal. And obviously he could continue to play. That's something that has been a belief, inside the building. So. To me, that would be the only thing hanging up the deal right now. But at the same time, I do believe one's going to get done. I don't think Atlanta's going to let this drag out, throughout the season. I think it's something that, eventually will get finalized. But, I will admit that I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened by now.
Hey, Jason, great stuff, man. As always, we'll see you out there at Flowery Branch in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it, Jason.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Y'all take care.
Take care, man.
That's Jason Butt. Again, you can follow Jason on Twitter at Jason H. Butt. Wrote a great article about Grady Jarrett and the contract situation earlier this week. You said you'd kind of heard similar stuff
about Julio.
Yeah,
yeah. That Julio ain't
doesn't want to be that 38-year-old wide receiver out there.
Yeah,
I can't blame him.
I don't either.
Football's hard. I hear
it's kind of hard.
I hear it hurts.
Yeah.
Also.
Yo.
All right, we'll come back. We'll answer your questions. Any question, any topic. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929. You ask, we answer. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open 404-741-0929. Twitter as well, at TBM929. Ask me anything brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. We got to the bottom of the question on everyone's mind today, Randy, before we answer everyone else's questions. Number five. Number five is the answer to the question. Oh, What number is Jabari Parker going to wear as an Atlanta Hawk?
Like, what are you talking about?
I know it's been eating you up.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure out what number he's going to wear.
Yeah.
He's going to wear number 5.
Okay, cool.
So you can go down to the team store later on today and probably get a number 5 Jabari Parker jersey.
Thank you.
So you're good to go.
Thank you.
Now he's going to be coming off the bench. I would have thought he would wear number 6 because then he'd be the 6th man. But apparently he doesn't want to do that. He's going to wear number 5.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Let's do it.
For some AMA questions, who's a bigger celebrity, John Hamm or Pam from The Office? John Hamm's the main character in Mad Men. Okay, he's been in some movies.
I've never seen either one.
And then Pam, you know Pam from The Office, Pam Beasley.
Never seen it.
Married Jim.
Never seen it.
She was engaged to Roy at first.
I've never seen it, Andy. You keep on giving me examples.
You've never seen a single episode of The Office?
No, I have not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not something in my wheelhouse, bro.
I understand that. Yeah. It's amazing if you compared, like, how many hours of my life have been spent watching The Office, and then all those hours of my life I've been doing that, you were doing something else.
Yeah, completely different.
Like, something completely different.
Yeah.
Probably full days, because it's like an 8-season series, and every season has, what, like 20 episodes, and every episode's like 25 minutes long.
Okay.
I've spent so much time watching The Office.
Yeah, never seen an episode.
I could have learned Spanish. I could have learned how to do origami or something. I could have learned something valuable.
Yeah, but you waste your time watching it
all. Instead, I know all kinds of stuff about Dwight Schrute and Beats. So you don't even get the joke.
Nope.
Doesn't even get the joke. No. That's fine. Yeah. Shout out to Brenda. Brenda says that we're keeping her company while she's building new shelving in her garage.
Go ahead, Brenda.
So that's good.
Good job.
Happy to be there with you, Brenda. Barrett wants to know, besides Stanford, what other West Coast schools produce talented software techies? That's probably a question for me.
Yeah.
Cal, also Cal Berkeley.
Yes, it does. I know that.
Caltech has a lot of techies. There's a school called Harvey Mudd that's in like the Pomona Pitzer system. There's a lot of nerds that go there. They produce a lot of techies.
He didn't call them nerds.
Oh, they're
nerds. He said techies.
Oh, but there's nothing wrong with being nerds.
Oh.
I mean, in this sense.
A rich nerd. I'll be a rich nerd.
University of Washington produces a lot of techies too. I mean, straight to Amazon and Microsoft there from the University of Washington campus. Basically, everything on our campus that's not sports-related is named after the Allen family or the Gates family. Because Paul Gates Bill Gates and Paul Allen, their parents went to the University of Washington.
Oh, okay.
Neither of them did, but their parents went there, so they donate a lot of money to school. But, I mean, everybody's a techie out there. Randy, if you could play one position in the NBA, what would it be? And can you dunk? Because, fam, I don't know that you could dunk in traffic. That's from a listener.
Okay,
it's
first
koozie,
of all,
baby.
I cannot dunk.
You could.
I don't think I dunk anymore. I haven't tried.
But, I mean, you used to be able
to. Oh, yeah, I was a high flyer. Yeah, I was a high flyer, bro. I used to catch it off the rim and all that. Now,
dunk contest and stuff?
No, I wasn't a creative dunker, but I was a power guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but what was the first part of it? Oh, I could play any position?
Yeah, what position?
I want to be a point guard. Yeah, I want to hold that finger up and direct traffic.
What position did you play in high school?
I was like a 3-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Point guard, huh?
Yeah.
You play point guard on Saturdays on the Randy and Andy show.
That I do.
That's great. You put your fingers up the whole time,
that
too.
That I do.
He's calling plays.
He said I couldn't dunk in traffic.
I know. He doubts your athleticism.
Oh, right now? Oh, this old broken down body? Oh, yeah. I might hurt something not trying to dunk.
You could probably still do it, though. Like once.
Like if I tried?
Yeah, you could do it once.
Maybe.
But it might be like a Craig Carlos Valentino situation.
Yeah, I might hurt
something. You're hobbling around here for the next month.
I might hurt something. But before, when I was a youngin', I can get up.
I'll tell you who can't dunk.
Well, we know that you.
Me.
Hold on.
I wish.
You nicked the bottom of the rim.
One time.
Your buddy said that the goal was at 9 feet. Broke your heart.
He said it. No, he said it was bent. He said the rim was bent down. It was like 9-10.
It broke your heart.
Yeah. I tell you, I say this, and I believe it's true. I'll give up 1 year of my life if I could dunk just once.
Okay.
Just one time. Favorite kind of cheese?
Cheddar?
Yeah, just basic cheddar.
Yeah, I'm not real fancy on cheese. Picky.
I like a provolone. Provolone's good on a sandwich.
I think any kind of cheese is good on a sandwich.
Cream cheese on a sandwich?
Well, that's not really cheese.
Yeah, it's not. I was just trying to be contrarian.
Yeah, it's not really cheese.
There's not really that many bad cheeses.
Yeah, it's not really.
I love cheese. For whatever reason, though, lately I haven't been able to eat dairy like I used to. Makes me feel funny. I used to be able to drink a gallon of milk a week, no problem, no questions asked. Milk whenever I wanted, ice cream, cheese, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, whenever I eat it, I always feel funny afterwards.
Y'all been doing all them different.
I trick my body.
You and Ashley, y'all be changing y'all diet up all the time.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. I did Whole 30 for a month and came back from it lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that to happen. I was always very tolerant of lactose. Now I'm not. Biggest amount you've ever won on a lottery ticket?
Like 30 bucks.
Yeah, I think I won 20 on a scratcher like one time.
I won 30 bucks on a scratch off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Never anything. The scratch,
Wendy won 250 bucks.
Really? That's pretty dang good.
Yeah. I mean,
Bo?
Scratch off.
50 bucks for Bo. Okay. That's still pretty
that's
good.
Still good.
Yeah. just getting some office references here. Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Would you rather work for Delta or Apple?
Apple.
I'd rather work for Apple.
Yeah.
Stranger looking, Ewing in a Sonics jersey or Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey?
Oh, Olajuwon in a Raptors
jersey. Yeah, right, yeah, it was Olajuwon. Oh,
damn, that Ewing was kind of hard to
he
watch.
He wore number six.
Yeah,
it was
that was
so
hard
weird.
To watch. That was so hard to watch.
But didn't he had already played for the Magic, I think. Like, he had played for another team.
But yeah, Olajuwon up in Toronto, yeah.
That was really weird. I don't even like to think about that.
That was rough.
One. Who was your TV movie crush as a teenager?
TV movie?
Yeah, who did you have a crush on?
Probably Lisa Turtle.
Yeah, that's a good
Lisa
one.
Lisa Turtle, yeah. Because Lisa had, she had a little wagon. Little.
Times got tough for Lisa Turtle.
Yeah, she looked rough now.
Yeah, not so good. Yeah, yeah. I'll go Topanga. Topanga. And Kelly Kapowski and Topanga.
Okay, see, once I'm older and I look at Kelly, Kelly had nobody.
Oh, I disagree.
Dude, her body was
and then
average.
It just got better. When she was on 90210.
Oh, 90210. Now she came with it.
She was like 15 when she was on Saved by the Bell.
And I'm thinking from like
Saved by the Bell, the college years.
The college
though,
years she was
Kelly
all right.
Kapowski.
Yeah, she was.
What'd all you say? Right. A wagon?
She is all right.
Maybe not a wagon.
But I'm saying, why was everybody in love
like
with
a trailer.
Kelly? Everybody wanted Kelly.
She was the best.
No, she wasn't.
Probably because Zach Morris wanted her.
I would have took Jesse. You saw what Jesse turned into.
Stripper.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Randy, if you didn't
so excited.
If you didn't play tight end, what position would you have wanted to play?
Quarterback, of course.
You could have been a pass rusher.
No.
You don't think so?
They thought, well, when I got recruited to Georgia, everybody thought they were going to make me a defensive end because we played in the in our region championship game against Crisp County. And I remember Coach, he said, go out there and go rush your pass. At the end of the game, like two plays, I was like, okay. And went out there, I like rubbed the back of the quarterback. I had like a Vic
Beasley. Oh, you had a Vic Beasley sack.
A Vic Beasley, yeah. And then like everybody was like, oh, you going to play DN? No, I don't like tackling people. No, I'm good. I had a Vic Beasley.
You ever tackle anybody on an interception?
Yeah. Oh, I was one of the best at that now.
Well, I guess you played with a lot of bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, a lot of bad quarterbacks. A lot of times we were in the chase position. A lot of times we were running after people, getting our head busted.
Best football movie. Remember the Titans.
I knew you were going to say
it's my
Titans.
Favorite football
there's
no, movie.
And there's nothing wrong. I love it. I probably go – I love The Program, man.
It's a great movie.
I love The Program.
It's a great movie.
I really – I don't know. I love The Program.
What sport has the best athletes, NFL or NBA?
Oh, NBA.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I'm surprised. NBA. I thought maybe there might be,
No.
That's good. More exciting, Acuna in the home run derby or Trey in the skills competition?
Didn't Trey win?
No, he lost, but
He beat Luka, that's right. But no, Ronald Acuna.
It's Acuna. Yeah. It's Acuna. Best basketball player you've ever seen in person? Does that include an NBA game?
Probably.
Oh, well, then, I mean.
LeBron James.
LeBron.
Yeah.
I've seen LeBron.
I saw Mike. I saw Michael, but Michael was. I saw Washington Wizards Mike.
Still pretty good, but
he was
not as good as he was. Hey, what was the best themed birthday party you had when you were young?
Man, please. As poor as we was, we had no damn theme.
We didn't have any theme. I had a Batman cake one time.
No, we had no theme.
But it's not like we were dressed up like Batman.
Mama went and got Duck and Hines. That was my birthday cake. I could make your cake better than the stove. Yes, ma'am.
Here's the theme. We're poor. This is the theme for all our parties. It's great. Amount of beers you drank in one sitting. We'll ask that on the other side.
Yeah, it depends. Like today?
I got 120 Amstel lights at the house if you guys want to come over. We'll tell you what we learned today. Takeaway of the day. Dukes of Bell coming up next from 2 to 7. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.